In John chapter 1 and verse 9, we read this. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. This light that gives light, Scripture tells us, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And to all who received him, we read in John chapter 1 and verse 12, to all who received him, this life and light that was coming into the world, this life and light that was coming from the Father, full of grace and truth, to all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is the season of Advent, remember. His coming in Bethlehem to save us, in this place, in this room, to meet with us, to help us, to deliver us, to give to us the very thing we would most need from him. And one day soon, his coming again. The sound of a trumpet, the dead who have died in Christ first, and then we that are alive and remain, rising to meet the Lord in the air, to be then forever and ever with him. His coming. And our response, remember, to him, to his advent, our response, we follow their example. Can I encourage you once more this morning? Like Joseph, courageously obey him. Like Mary, willingly, even cheerfully serve him. Like the wise men, we offer to him the sacrifice of worship. Yes, the worship that costs us something. Even, in fact, the worship that costs us everything. Like the shepherds, wherever we go, to whomever we meet, we tell everyone, everywhere about him. For us this year, that's been our consideration of Christmas these last few weeks. This season, this most wonderful time of the year, his advent, their example, and this morning we conclude with our celebration. Let me just share with you a few thoughts. Christmas, it's the celebration. It's our celebration of God's love for us. This is why we celebrate. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. This is Christmas. This is the Christmas story. This is Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary, the baby lying there in the manger. This is the shepherds keeping watch over their flock at night. This is the wise men coming to worship this newborn king. All of it, the very clear, the very tangible expression of God's love for the world, for all humanity. God's love for you. God's love for me. God's love for us. That's the message above all others even. I shared this with you last Sunday. Let me read it once again. Imagine planting a garden, one author writes, and then becoming a plant. It's shocking to even contemplate making a choice like that. And yet, the distance between us and a plant is far smaller than the distance between us and God. What would make God make a choice like that? To plant himself in this, our soiled world. Only one thing. God is saying to you today, this is how much I love you. Listen, the Christmas story tells us this. God loves us. Listen to me this morning. God loves you. There can be no question. There ought not to be even any doubt ever about that. God loves you. It's true. It's a common message. It's a well-known message. You know that. You know that God is love and that He loved the world and that He loves you. But can I challenge you? Would you let that truth that you already know sink into your heart? You didn't need me to tell you that this morning. It's not something that's new to you. You know it. It's in your mind. It's in your head. You have that knowledge already. Yes, God is love. Yes, God has loved. And yes, God does love. God loves the world. God loves me. I know it's there in your head, but would you let that truth settle into the very depths of your heart? This morning, that you would recall, this morning, that you would remind yourself, this is the season, the demonstration of God's love for me. This is the message in it all and of it all. Hear it today and tomorrow, remind yourself of it. And Tuesday and Wednesday and throughout the week until Sunday again, God loves me. So simple. So clear and obvious, and yet so unbelievably amazing and awe-inspiring. I am loved by God. No wonder our celebration of a Christmas story that tells us that. Listen, it's true. You might not think there's much to celebrate this year, this Christmas, but for sure, listen to me now. For sure, you can celebrate this. You are loved by Him. Can I caution you? Be careful. Sometimes the celebration of Christmas gets too connected to Christmas things and to Christmas events, if I can say it that way. So maybe loss has been experienced this year. Maybe a loved one has passed away. Maybe the kids and the grandkids will be elsewhere. Your house will be empty, even lonely, come Christmas morning. Maybe things have taken a turn for the worse for you. Maybe you'll experience this Christmas with a doctor's diagnosis that you never saw coming. And it'll bring a shadow over all that is your life and this season of your life. All that you've experienced throughout the year. All then that is missing at this time of the year. All that's maybe come that you wish it hadn't come at this time of the year. It can make us to think, there'll be no celebration for me. Not this year. Pastor, you keep saying it's the most wonderful time of the year. Not for me. Not with what I'm going through. Not with what I've gone through. Pastor, this morning, the message, our celebration, my life this year, my life right now, there's no reason for celebration. Not for me. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, that's just not true. No matter what you've experienced, no matter what you are experiencing, there would be reason still to celebrate, because Christmas, it's not about who's around or who's not, what gifts are opened or aren't. It's not about what's going on or what's not going on. It's about this. God loves you. And no matter the other things or the lack of the other things, that's still true. Listen now, God loves you. And that's reason then, no matter what, that's reason then for your celebration to be great this year. Can you imagine the alternative? God doesn't love me? The word is strong. We don't like it to be used in our home. But can you imagine the alternative? God hates me. Do you understand? It's because of this season. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. You and I, we will never have to concern ourselves with whether or not he likes us or doesn't. We will never have to concern ourselves. He hates me or he doesn't. We will always and only ever know this. God loves me. I know he does. Christmas tells me that he does. In Ephesians 2 and verse 1, we read this. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, rich in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. Only by his undeserved love and grace have we ever been saved. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love to be made whole and holy by his love. In Romans chapter 8, do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and God's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm entirely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, nothing high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God shown by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. The real love message of Christmas: God loved you even when you were at your worst. All your mistakes, all your failures, all the things you've done wrong, all the things of your life you're most ashamed of, all that you regret because of all that you were and all that you did. In the midst of all that, Christmas lets you to know God still loved you even then. All the times you've rejected him, all the times you did the exact opposite of what he would have wanted you to do, the times you did what was pleasing to you instead of what was pleasing to him, in the midst of your sin and disobedience and rebellion against him, he loved you still. In the midst of all that, because he loved you, he sent his son on a rescue mission to rescue you because he loved you. The real message of Christmas: God loved you even before you were even you. Before you ever existed, you were the focus of his love. And the real love message of Christmas: he can't stop. And nothing can stop him from loving you. Do you understand? Christmas, the story, the demonstration, the expression of God's love for us, the gift of his son because he loved us. Jesus the Savior, his coming to save us from our sin because God so loved us. No wonder our celebration then, along with the love, Christmas is the message of peace. the angelic message to shepherds in the field, peace on earth. This is Christmas. This is the Christmas story. Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary, the baby in the manger, shepherds keeping watch, wise men coming to worship, all of it. The reminder that because of it all, there can now be peace between us and God. It's interesting to consider, this is true. God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, God has always loved us. And yet the Bible is very clear in describing our sin condition. We were enemies of God, far, far away from Him. Do you understand? No matter His love for us, there was a brokenness in relationship, and because there was, His love couldn't really be experienced by us. We could relate to this, perhaps, in the context of family and family relationships. You love your family. You love them today. You've always loved them. But maybe a son, a daughter, a grandson, granddaughter, maybe a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle. Maybe because of a decision they've made, choices they've made, there's a separation. There's a brokenness in relationship. You love them still, but in the brokenness, there's no real experience of that love. There's the verbal expression of love. I love you. But when relationship is broken and you're never talking to them or them to you, there can't be that. You don't get to tell them you love them. You don't get to hear that from them. Relationship is broken. There's the relationship of love itself, the communion of love, the fellowship, the interaction, the time spent together. But when relationship is broken, despite there still being a love for them, there is no expression. There is no experience of that. There's no relationship with them. There's no communion or communication with them. There's no fellowship with them. Families that claim and even still really do love one another won't be together this Christmas because they can't stand one another. Relationship is broken. Do you understand? When the relationship is broken, though the love remains, all the rest, all that would be the expression, all that would be the experience of that love, all of it is compromised. God loves us. He has, He does, He always will. But there's a sense, what does that matter if our relationship with Him has been broken? If that happens, though we would know He loves us, we can never experience His love because there's no relationship by which we would experience His love. God loves us. He has, He does, He always will. But the problem, we're separated from Him. We need a way back to Him so His love can be manifested in our lives. We need a way back to Him so that more than just knowing He loves us, we can live in His love. We can experience His love and all that would be a part of Him loving us. God loves us. That's good to know. But it's impossible for us to experience and live in the expression of that while living life in broken relationship with Him. God loves us. That's good to know, but impossible to experience, impossible to live in that. His love while separated from Him, while because of sin being counted and considered His enemy. Do you understand? Oh, no wonder then the celebration, our celebration of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, the one who brings down the wall of division. Listen, in Jesus, because of Jesus, through Jesus, there is no longer the hostility. There's peace. There's peace between mankind and God because of him. In Jesus, because of Jesus, through Jesus. Enemies? Oh no, not anymore. Instead, he calls us friends. Better yet, he calls you son. He calls you daughter. Can I remind you? Some may be in the room that still feel this great divide, thinking God doesn't want anything to do with you. Maybe you've applied to him what you've experienced from others. People have always thought less of you, treated you less, devalued you. People that never really seemed to want anything to do with you. Everybody that mistreated you. Maybe you bring that into your relationship with God. Sure, he loves you, but that's only because he loves everyone. And yes, he saved you, but only really because he had to, because you turned to Jesus and he said he would save anyone who did that. But truth be told, you feel still that God wants nothing to do with you, that there is still the hostility, the divide, the separation. Listen, if that's where you're at, the truth this morning, you have completely forgotten your reason for the celebration of Christmas. Listen, there is peace. Relationship is restored. You who were once far away, you've been brought close. Once an enemy, now his friend. He calls you his child, all because of Jesus. Embrace that. That's the truth of Christmas. Lean into that. Live in the reality of that. He invites you to draw near. He wants you near. It's his invitation extended to you this morning. Come near, nearer, nearer still to me, because not only does he love you, not only has he saved you, he's invited you to live in the wonder of a most intimate relationship with him. Before we move on, good for us to consider this. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, we are reminded, for he himself, that being Jesus, do you know it? He is our peace. Listen, you have Jesus. And because you do, you have peace. Because he is your peace. So no matter what's going on in the world around you, you understand, right? What's going on in the world, that's not your source of peace. What's going on in your life, that's not your source of peace. Your peace isn't the stuff of this world, the things going on in you, around you. That's not how or where you find peace. He is your peace. You have him. So no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in your world, no matter anything, no matter any trouble, no matter any difficulty, no matter what the spouse has done, no matter the trouble the child is in, no matter what the boss has said, no matter what report the doctor has given, no matter any problem, no matter any fearful thing, no matter any cause for worry or anxiety, no matter any mountain in your way or obstacle in your path, no matter any of it, you have him. You can live in the fullness of him who is your peace. And in that, in him, you can have peace. You can have his peace. His peace that passes understanding. His peace that this world can't touch nor take away. This is the gift that's been given to you. Him, Jesus, who is your peace. Can I ask you, are you living in peace this morning? Do you understand? This is the reason for our celebration. We have peace. We don't have to ask for it. We don't have to pray for it. We have Him, so we have peace. We have all the peace we need. We need simply to live more and better in that peace that He's already given to us. That then really becomes the focus of prayer. Lord, help me to live in You. Help me to live in the peace that You've already given to me in You, in my relationship with You, in my life in You. Do you understand? Listen, this is not the reason we will one day celebrate. One day this trouble will be over, and then the peace can come. Then the peace will come, and with it the celebration then. One day He will come, and then all the trouble will be over, and then the peace can come. Then the peace will come, and the celebration then with it as well. No. No. This is the reason we celebrate right here, right now, in the middle of life that is right here, right now. Our reason for celebration in the midst of it all. He is our peace. One writes this, God the Son is called the Prince of Peace. He came into the world with a song of peace on earth, and He went out of the world leaving a legacy of peace. He came to bring peace. While here, He prayed for peace, and in dying, He bled for peace. He suffered the cross of Calvary that He might bring God and man together again, and that He might cement Christians together in a divine unity. As He prayed for peace, so He paid for it, and so He freely gives it now. Right now. But Pastor, you don't understand what's going on. No. What's going on? That's not your source of peace. He is, and you have Him. He's with you. He's in you. Where two or three are gathered, He's there in the room with them. He's in this room. Don't you sense that? The peace that passes understanding that would rest in this place. Isn't it true? As we gather in the Lord's presence, in prayer and worship, as we come into His presence, the One who is our peace, isn't it true? Oh, the troubles, the cares of this world, all of it. Well, doesn't it grow strangely dim? He is our peace. In Jesus, because of Jesus, through Jesus, we have peace with God. Yes, we do. And we have the peace of God that sustains us, that strengthens us in any, in every circumstance of life. Yes, we do. We have peace with Him, and we have His peace. Do you understand? No wonder then, for that, our celebration, along with the love and the peace, Christmas is the message of joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. That's Christmas, right? Joy. Wonderful, indescribable joy. That's the reason for our celebration. Joy that is ours. In Matthew 2, when the wise men saw the star, they were overjoyed. It's literally, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. It's a joy that cannot be contained. It's a they jump for joy kind of expression. This is the greatest discovery of their lives. They had finally found the King, the Messiah. This is our reason for celebration. The joy that is ours because the King has come. The Savior of the world has been born. The lavish expression of God's love for us, His indescribable gift, Jesus, born to save us, to redeem us, to rescue us, so that now we can know, we can live in right relationship with God. That's reason to rejoice exceedingly with great joy. That's the cannot be contained joy. That's the jump for joy kind of joy that we now have, that we can now experience and live in relationship with Him. Now we have peace. That's the reason for joy. That's the reason for celebration. In relationship with Him now, all of His promises become ours. Can I remind you this morning? Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, hear His promise that's yours. He knows the plans He has for you, and His plans for you are good. Not disaster, but a future and a hope. That's reason to rejoice. That's reason to celebrate this morning. Matthew 11, come to me all who are weary and burdened. Listen now, His promise to you, I will give you rest. In Isaiah 40, He gives power to the weak, strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. His promise to you, now listen, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isaiah 43, His promise, what the Lord says to you this morning. Fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. His promise to you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Philippians chapter 4, His promise. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. In Proverbs 1, but all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. In John 14, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. His promise. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, His promise. And He will make your paths straight. Hebrews 13, God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. His promise. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. All that, according to Corinthians, the yes, the amen, the so be it to all the promises of God has been spoken to us. Whatever His promise in Jesus, through Jesus, because of Jesus, the yes has been spoken. The amen, the so be it. This is how you respond. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. And we say, amen, yes, so be it. It's His promise to me. His promise to sustain you, to strengthen you, to save you, to help you, to deliver you. You say, yes, amen, so be it. It's His promise to me. One says this, no words written on paper will ever sustain you like the promises of God. When fears surface, respond with this thought, but God said. When doubts arise, but God said. When guilt overwhelms you, but God said. search the scriptures for promises, like a miner digging for gold. And once you find a nugget, grasp it, trust it. For there is no greater treasure. Do you understand this morning? We celebrate. And no wonder we do, because ours is an indescribable joy, because His promises, all of them, are ours in Christ Jesus. In relationship with Him now, His power is made available to us. This is the reason for our rejoicing. This is the reason for our celebration. In relationship with Him, His plans and His purposes can be fulfilled in us now. It's true, you might not always know His plan. It's true, you might not always understand His plan. But wow, what a plan God has for you. In relationship with Him now, freedom is ours. Victory is ours. This is the reason for our joy. This is the reason today for our celebration. We are more than conquerors. We do have the victory. Born in Bethlehem is Jesus, the one who saves us from our sin. Emmanuel, God who is now with us. One writes, the kind, loving, and approachable Jesus is the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God. And He is always willing to help you, always willing to guide you. Listen now, always willing to teach you, always willing to heal you, always willing to redeem you, because He is always with you. Another writes, Santa's presents are nice, but nothing is like the presence of Jesus in your life and in mine. Listen, He is Emmanuel. He is the Savior. And that ought to bring joy to your heart. Exceeding, great, cannot be contained, jump for joy kind of joy. Christmas reminds us, God loves us. God's for us. God's with us. That, all that ought to bring joy to your heart. That, all that, all the joy that comes in knowing that, living in that, experiencing that, oh, that's the reason for our celebration. Because of Christmas, this can be our testimony. Listen now. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my power. And heaven is my home. Even if you have nothing in this world, even if life seems to deal you nothing but trouble and difficulty, problem after problem, struggle after struggle, oh, don't you know that for this, yours is still an indescribable joy. There is coming a day, a new order, a new heaven, a new earth. All things gone, death gone, sorrow gone, pain and tears gone, all of it gone forever. The Lamb's book of life opened, a roll call, and your name called. Because God is your Father. Jesus, your Savior, the Spirit, your power, heaven will be your eternal home. Listen, you know it, don't you? You sense it. You feel it in your heart even now. With that comes the exceeding, the great, the cannot be contained, jump for joy kind of joy. And that kind of joy, that's the reason for our celebration. We have a joy that the world out there can never know. The world out there can never experience. Listen now, we have a joy that the world out there can never give you. We have a joy found only in Him. Ours a divine joy. It's His joy. Unspeakable and full of glory joy. Indescribable joy. It's an ever-present joy. No matter the circumstances of life, even as it was with peace, so it is with joy. Yours is to be an ever-present kind of joy. The story is told of a third century man who was anticipating death and penned these last words then to a friend. It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world, but I have discovered in the midst of it, a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. Their joy remains. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. This third century man writes, "These people are the Christians, and I am one of them." Another writes, "When you believe in your heart that God is truly sovereign and that He loves you more than you love yourself, you will experience a supernatural peace and joy even amid extreme adversity, extreme hardship, and even extreme suffering." In Psalm 126 and verse 3, "The Lord has done great things for us." Come on now. You know that's true, don't you? The psalmist might have written it, but all of us in this room can testify to it. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Listen, it really is true. Because of the great things He's done for us, because of Jesus, because of Christmas, it ought to be that we can't help but be a joy-filled people. Joy is ours. Forever and ever, always and forever, ours. That's the message of Christmas, and that's the reason today for our celebration. Along with the love and the peace and the joy, Christmas brings to us the message of hope. How beautiful these lyrics. "Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It's the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till He appeared and the soul felt its worth." Here it is, a thrill of hope. "The weary world now rejoices, for yonder breaks a new glorious morn. O holy night, O night when Christ was born." The thrill of hope. That's the reason for our celebration. Ours is a perpetual hope, an enduring hope, an eternal hope. Ours is the hope that realizes, that recognizes, no matter how dark the night, a star can appear, a star can shine, proclaiming to you that even in the darkness, God has come near to you. Ours is a hope that sustains us even in the darkest of hours. Ours is a hope built on this, founded on this, that our God is the God who does the impossible, turns our setback into a comeback, our misery into a miracle, our trouble into triumph. Ours is the hope that because of Jesus and through Jesus, today's confusion and crisis will be tomorrow's conquest. Ours is the but now hope. Do you know this hope? "I was a sinner. Oh, but now I've been washed. purified, sanctified by the precious blood of Jesus. Come on now. Do you know this hope? I was lost in bondage. I was lost in addiction. But now I'm alive, set free, redeemed, victorious, more than a conqueror. Ours is the but now hope. I was sick. I was cancer stricken. I was plagued by pain. But now, ours is the but now hope. But now I've been healed because Jesus, He is my healer. Do you understand? Ours is the but now hope. And ours is the but one day hope. It's true. Some of you, maybe the victory hasn't come. Maybe the healing hasn't come. Maybe the deliverance hasn't come. You know it, don't you? You haven't forgotten it, have you? The but one day hope that would sustain you and would strengthen you even in the waiting. Ours is the but now. And for when it's not the but now, it's the but one day hope that we can live in, that we can experience. Oh, no wonder our perpetual, our enduring and even eternal hope. Because of this, the truth of our God, nothing is too hard for Him. Nothing's impossible with Him. No wonder then our hope, no wonder then our celebration. Father, I pray this morning for each of us in this room. Lord, especially for the one, for the two, for the many. Because of the circumstances of their life now, because of how the year has been, what they've gone through, what they've lost, because of it all, they would be inclined to think, I've nothing to celebrate. Father, by your Spirit, would you remind them? Would you remind us all today? Oh, but the message of Christmas, the reason for our celebration, we celebrate today because we are loved. Father, even as I say that, I would recognize it's easy for me to speak it. But I would sense, Lord, what we really need, what my brother really needs, what my sister really needs today is to hear that from you. Jesus, would you speak to each one? May they hear not my voice, but rather the voice of your Spirit as you tell them even before they leave this room just how much you love them. No matter what the week holds, no matter what the day of Christmas itself holds for us, I pray there's the celebration. Oh, Jesus, I pray it for each one in this room. Let there be the celebration. We are loved by God. Remind my brother, remind my sister that peace has been made with you. They can now live in peace and joy is theirs in you because of you, through you, Jesus. Peace can be forever, always and forever theirs. Lord, I pray for my brother, for my sister. Peace has been taken. Joy has been stolen. Lord, would you restore what's been taken? Would you give back in abundance what's been stolen? Would you let into the life of my brother, my sister, each one in this room? Would you let the peace that passes understanding come and fill our hearts? Would you let joy come and fill each one and overflow out of each one? Father, I pray, let there be a hope that would settle over us all. I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister. Jesus, they're in the midst of trouble. Oh, would you help so that theirs is an enduring hope. Jesus, would you work? Would you speak in their life this morning? Holy Spirit, would you have your way so that even in the midst of the trouble, theirs would be a sustaining hope and empowering hope. Remind us, Lord, today, our reason for celebration. No wonder we celebrate the birth of Jesus. No wonder we celebrate the Christmas day that's soon to come. What a day. What a cause for celebration. All that you've done for us. All that you've been to us. All that you've given and would give to us. No wonder. No wonder our celebration this morning, I pray, Lord, for each of us. Oh, let the celebration be great. As each of us are reminded, this Christmas message and all that it speaks to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how exactly you would do it. I don't know what would be the expression for you, but I pray that somehow, some way, throughout today, this week to come, you would be reminded, oh, but this is the season of celebration. I know you'll be busy. It'll be chaotic. The schedule filled with a lot of things, a lot of good things. But in the midst of it all, oh, this is celebration time. So celebrate. And when you think you have nothing to celebrate, remember, oh, but he loves you. And peace is yours, and joy is yours, and hope eternal is yours. Remember that. I do. I pray it for you. That the celebration this week, because of that, leading all the way up even to Christmas Day itself, oh, that it would be the greatest celebration. And I pray the Lord's blessing over you. Would you stand? Would you extend your hands to receive his blessing this morning? As under shepherd of the great shepherd, as high priest of this assembly, I declare it over your life. I speak it over you, the word of God, so that it must be true. It must come to pass. The experience of your life today and throughout this week must be this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and speak over you his love, give to you his peace, fill you with his joy, and make your life to abound with hope. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.